If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're among Christians, there are true believers around you, and there are those who are truly following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at their lives, yes, they're not perfect, but they're trusting the Lord. And there's a real relationship with Jesus. But there are some who are maybe faltering, and you run the risk of turning someone away from Christ.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, God's Word has some important things to say about how we as Christians are to live our lives.
Indeed it does, Dave. And today we're looking at that which eludes so many. We're looking at what truly brings peace. So would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're looking at verses 14 to 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, the reality is, if you're a human being, this life is difficult. We all understand that. We all enter into difficulties. Sometimes there's good days, sometimes there's bad days, but we enter into difficulties. Now, if you're a Christian, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we also enter into difficulties, and there are some new difficulties that arise because of following Jesus Christ. Now, within that, some of the difficulties we go through are because of our own sin. We do the wrong thing, we suffer for it, we confess it, we get right with the Lord, but there are consequences. There are difficulties in our lives. And we as believers experience difficulties, and sometimes within that we could be wondering, why is this life so hard? Why is it so difficult? And we've been looking through the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, and we've seen the answer to that. We've seen the answer for believers is that God is using every circumstance in our lives, if we're willing to allow Him, if we don't forget His truth, to change us, to educate us, to chastise us if necessary, to cause us to be more like Christ. He is a good father who lovingly disciplines his children, and he does it that we would share his holiness, that we would be trained by the discipline and experience the peaceful fruit of righteousness, that everything we go through, God is doing good through that, and we understand that. But yet, the understanding of that, sometimes we don't know what to do when those things come upon us. We understand the truth, but how should we respond to the reality of God's gracious, loving discipline in our lives? But we're going to finish our portion in chapter 12 today, where we're going to look at the last two exhortations to heed on how we are to respond to God's discipline. Now, again, the context for the book of Hebrews, we have the author, inspired by the Spirit, is writing exclusively to Hebrew believers who are suffering for their faith. And because of their immaturity and being dull of hearing, their eyes had been pulled off of Jesus and onto their difficulties. And they were in need of encouragement. They were in need of endurance. We see that in chapter 10, verse 36. And now to exhort these believers to hold fast their confession of faith, to not turn in discouragement, the author has been clearly pointing to the superiority of Jesus Christ throughout this book. He has argued throughout this whole book that Jesus and his new covenant is superior to the old covenant, which was a type and shadow of what was to come. And the author has proven in this book of Hebrews that Jesus is greater than the angels, the messengers of the old covenant, that he is greater than Moses, the apostle of the old covenant, and that he is a superior high priest who mediates a superior covenant based on his once for all, one time sacrifice, which brought about forgiveness of sins and access to God. And our response we saw to this in chapter 10 should be, we should be continually drawing near to him. We should be hoping continually in him and loving him and serving his body. Then in chapter 11, he begins the direct encouragement of those who are in need of encouragement by showing the great testimony of those who by faith trusted what God said and endured to the end. And then we see in chapter 12, keying upon what was in chapter 11, the author writes that we are to, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, so great a cloud of testifiers throughout the Word of God that testify to the fact that this race can be run with endurance, that when we trust in Jesus, believe in what he said, we will endure to the end, as we see. They are testifiers, and we are exhorted then to run unhindered, to set aside every weight that encumbers us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and that sin that has tight grip on us in the context of Hebrews is most likely the sin of unbelief. And it takes tight grip on us. Although we know the truth, we don't believe the truth on a practical basis, and we become bound in that sense to that. But we saw we are to run also, loosing those obstacles to faith, run with focus on Jesus alone, fixing our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of faith. And then we saw what I mentioned earlier, that God is gracious, that He is good, that He uses all of our difficulties to train us, that these Hebrews most likely had forgotten the exhortation that was brought to them as children to not despise or treat lightly or faint at God's discipline because He loves those whom He disciplines. And it's from this point we came to see four exhortations on how we are to respond to God's discipline. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to start back in verse 12 right now. This is what we saw last week, and then we'll move into what we'll look at today in verses 14 to 17. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. And then our passage here. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Now you remember what we saw last week. There were the first two commands. We saw in verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And there was a link there. Therefore, the link between the disciplinary action of God and what we are to do. Look back at verse 4, because this is what God reminds us concerning His discipline. Notice He says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against the sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. These Hebrews were tempted in their suffering to give up. They were tempted to become weary and give up. And they needed to be reminded that even through the difficulties that God allows, that God is doing good in those difficulties. He is training, He is chastising, He is bringing about education in the context of walking with Jesus Christ. That they were suffering in the context of His discipline, but it was good, that God was doing good in those things. And remember, we saw that every situation in our lives, He uses it, whether it's because of sin, we confess, God still uses it to train us, to make us like His Son. Look at verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. It's for discipline. It's for God's training that you endure this stuff. You know, why endure all this hardship? It's because God is making us more like Jesus Christ. He's taking every event in our lives and He is using them to train us to trust in the Lord, to believe His word so that we would walk rightly with Him. And yes, many of our situations in our lives for believers are cause for God to discipline us, maybe chastise us. But when we confess our sin and we experience the difficulties because of our sin, but we have a right heart before Him, He uses that for good. And so we see that here. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children, not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness, or the idea for our good that we might benefit. He disciplines us for our benefit. You see, if you're a true believer, you're going to be disciplined. God is going to use the events in your life to train you to make you more like Christ. And if you're not a believer, then God's not doing that in your life. If you've never had a circumstance in your life where God has taken it, whatever it is, and used it to train you to make you more like Jesus, then I would question whether you know the Lord. Because that's what God is doing through our difficulties. Look at verse 11. All discipline for the moment, or for the present, literally, seems not to be joyful. That's true, right? It's not joyful in the moment, but sorrowful. This life is hard, right? Things that come upon us are difficult. Yet, to those who have been trained, the Greek word gymnazo, that have been trained like in a gym, you're over and over again, God is working on your heart. For those who have been trained by it, that's discipline. Afterwards, obviously, discipline, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. When God trains you through the difficulties in life, the fruit that comes out is righteousness. It's His character manifest in you, and there's peace when we're walking with the Lord. What a wonderful result. You see, we had fathers that we were disciplined by. We respected them. How much more should we subject ourselves to the Father in spirits and live? So, brothers and sisters, when you go through difficulties, for whatever reason, subject yourself to God. If it's because of sin, confess, be forgiven. Maybe there are consequences, maybe not. God's gracious sometimes. Or it's just difficult. Trials that have come upon you, whatever it is, subject yourself to God and let Him train you to become more like Jesus. Now, last time we were together, we saw the first of the responses that we should have besides understanding. You know, it's important that we understand the truth, but it's also important that we act upon the truth based on that understanding. We saw in verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Therefore, in light of God's loving purposes for the difficulties He allows on His children, with the end result of them becoming more like Christ, therefore, because of that, strengthen or set back up the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. The knees that are lame, in a sense, are feeble, paralyzed. It's like a runner who's frozen. You're in the race and the difficulties become too hard. Therefore, in light of what God is doing, be strengthened. Strengthen one another. God is doing good in the midst of the hardships you are temporarily enduring. He's doing a good thing. Be strengthened. Get back in the race. Focus on Jesus Christ. Get back in the race. Get your heart right again. And then remember, we saw that we should also get back on track. Look at verse 13. We saw this last week. And make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. We are to get on track the path of our lives. We are to make straight paths for our feet. Stop sinning in your unbelief and in your word forgetfulness. Recognize what God is doing through those things. Do not deviate to the left or to the right. Make straight paths. He's speaking about obedience. Obey the Lord by the power of the Spirit. And this is a command to the entire body. Entire church, make straight. You all, make straight paths for your feet. Now remember, we saw this term path spoke of grooves or tracks that a wheel would make that others would follow. You see, because if we're true believers, the path that we take, people are going to be watching that. We're going to see this later on also. Make straight paths. Don't deviate sinfully. Make straight paths for your feet, because you know what God is doing. Don't respond wrongly to the difficulties in your life by sinning. Make straight paths. Respond rightly, knowing what God is doing, a loving God is doing. Make straight paths, and then He gives a reason why, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. There are those who are lame on the verge of being dislocated. Well, in the context of the book of Hebrews, there have been warnings throughout. Over six warnings saying, don't harden your heart. For those who would identify with the body of Christ but aren't saved yet, they've heard the truth. It's convicted them. They haven't trusted in Jesus Christ. And in this group of believers, there were Hebrews who were ready to depart from the only saving truth that could save them about Jesus and go back to Judaism. It wasn't that they were saved, but that they were just turning away from Christ. They were about to be dislocated. And I think he's saying here that the consequence of not having straight paths, brothers and sisters, is that someone who doesn't know Jesus in your midst might turn away from Jesus. Very serious. You see, if we're following Jesus Christ, but we're falling apart in the trials of our lives, someone looks at that, why do I want to follow that Jesus? Make straight paths. Trust the Lord. He's faithful. He will enable you to endure. Because people are going to see those grooves, those wheel paths. That the limb that is lame, it's hanging there, may not be separated, dislocated, put out of joint. Serious, important truth, but rather that it would be, as we see in the text, healed. You see, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're among Christians, there are true believers around you, and there are those who are truly following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at their lives, yes, they're not perfect, but they're trusting the Lord. And there's a real relationship with Jesus. But there are some who are maybe faltering, and you run the risk of turning someone away from Christ, very serious thing. Instead, rather that they would be healed, rather they would see the truth of Jesus in your life and be healed, come to Him by faith. So those are the two things we saw last week. Now let's get into our passage today where we're going to see the last two commands on how we are to respond to the difficulties in life that we know God is doing, that He's disciplining us through. I'm going to back up to verse 12 because it all comes together. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Verse 14, here's the first command. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace. Pursue it. Pursue something in the midst of discipline. Therefore, pursue. We've seen commands already. Strengthen, that means to set up right. We've seen make straight, pass. We saw it. Now the third command, pursue. So you've been strengthened. You're set back up. Now you're making straight paths. Now pursue something. The term pursue speaks of making haste, pressing forward, running. It was spoken of and used in the context of dogs pursuing their prey or soldiers pursuing their enemies. It's even in a negative sense, it's translated persecute, because when someone was persecuting someone, they would pursue them in a sense. It speaks of an intense focus and drive, pursuing something. When you think of people who pursue things, you think of people who are singularly minded on something. They're pursuing this or pursuing that. Well, we are to pursue something here. What are we to pursue? Two things. One, peace with all men. Two, the sanctification. Those are two things that we are to be pursuing. Things that we should be pursuing as believers. And I believe the spheres we see here, first of all, is the first sphere is with man. The second sphere is in the context of God. Pursue peace, here we go, with all men. Pursue peace with all men. You see, when things are going bad, we tend to get into conflicts. We tend to have issues with people. We tend to have sin in our lives. When we're not trusting the Lord, there tends to be struggles all around us, right? Right? I mean, when you're struggling, we can be sinful, right? But here he says, pursue peace with all men. And I think this is quite possibly a paraphrase of what David shares back in Psalm 34. Turn to Psalm 34. I want to read this for you. David has made it clear in other Psalms that he wants to teach transgressors the way. He wants to teach them because of his failures. He wants to teach transgressions the way because God has forgiven him. And we see in Psalm 34, verse 11, he's going to teach them and us. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and love, length of days, that he may see good? Now here it's talking about behavior. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. And then here's our verse, I believe. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. Hey, God's on your side when you're wanting to do what He wants you to do. He'll enable you to do it. Just choose to obey Him and He will enable you to do it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ear open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord hears. The context of this psalm is difficulty. It's difficulty, right? But God is gracious. You're going through God's discipline. Cry out to Him. Focus on the right thing. And here, pursue peace. Seek peace and pursue it. The righteous, verse 17, cry and the Lord hears and He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. There's a humility. There's a brokenness. Lord God, I can't do this. You need to do it. And I trust you to do it. I trust you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Ultimately, we'll be delivered out of every affliction. And he's actually using everyone for good, if we remember what we saw earlier. So he says here, pursue peace with all men. Obviously, this is righteous behavior in the context of the fear of the Lord and trials. Now, there's no genuine true peace within relationships apart from righteousness, because sin brings about conflict and a lack of peace. Without God's righteousness, there is no true peace. You see, we didn't have peace with God until we trusted in Jesus. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is peace in our relationship because of Jesus. But also, we see in the midst of this, we should have right behavior before men. Seek peace and pursue it, because God is looking out. His eyes are toward the righteous. His face is against evildoers. There's so much conflict out there, isn't there? We are to be seeking peace, brothers and sisters. You see the conflict all over the place. You see assuming, presuming, gossiping, not forgiving. There's all kinds of conflict based on sin. We're to pursue peace. Turn to Proverbs. I want to share a few proverbs about conflict and then how to avoid it. You see, you can't pursue peace if you're in sin. If you're gossiping, assuming, presuming, not forgiving. You can't pursue peace. You're actually pursuing the opposite by default. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Notice what happens with sin and how strife builds from this. Proverbs 16, 28. A perverse man, what? Spreads strife. Someone was telling me last week, it's like spreading jam on a piece of bread. It just spreads all over. Perverse man spreads strife. And a slanderer separates intimate friends. There's no peace there. Look in chapter 17, verse 19. He who loves transgression loves strife. Wow, can you think about someone who loves transgression? Yikes. He who raises his door seeks destruction. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for any man. Keeping away from it. But any fool will quarrel. Pursue peace, right? Proverbs 22, 10. Drive out the scoffer and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. 26, 21. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. It's the opposite of peace, folks. Chapter 30, verse 33. The end of Proverbs. For the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing of the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces what? Strife.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we respond to what you've taught us in this message?
Well, Dave, we simply need to recognize that true peace comes from the Prince of Peace and a relationship with Him. And we need to pursue peace in the relationships that are around us. We need to trust the Lord to allow Him to give us peace in every circumstance. But also, we need to be peacemakers. We need to forgive and trust the Lord in circumstances. We need to, as we've seen today, pursue peace. Well, with this in mind, we're not done with our passage yet, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.